As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Jalen Green should have had at least six more opportunities to miss free throws at the line. He gets hit. He was getting hit. Now you let Draymond and Jimmy get a little piece of it. Yeah. Jimmy, forearm shivers coming off of screens. It's just stupid to me. That's why we're sitting here 95-84 ball games. We got teams routinely scoring their season low, and then Tyler keeps betting the over on total points for some reason.
Yeah, Tyler, it's changing tonight. It's changing tonight. I'm going to have some overs for best bets, believe it.
Yeah, well. Oh, he's still going with the overs. Okay.
Good luck with that.
He's going to keep going.
Good luck with that.
It's going. Y'all see. You'll see.
Oh, yeah, we will.
All right. Excited to see.
I believe in you, man. It's just ridiculous to me, man.
I'm going
to
be honest, I don't.
It's utterly ridiculous.
I hope for Tyler's not a record low playoff.
It's going to be 78-76.
Playoffs this year. It's league-wide.
That's Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic.
That's a good report. That's a good report coming
Did
in.
Did you see my man took Luka, took his foot and did the little trip with his leg. It just went on about their business.
Like, this is all good. That's what the playoffs are, gentlemen.
I watched,
do you want to win or not?
Yeah.
I watched LeBron hammer Anthony Edwards multiple times. And you know how I am with LeBron. Yeah, yeah. Just hammer him.
What am I doing?
I mean, but that in theory that plays well for the Rockets.
No, that's not sure. I just like to say for all those people out there, that's what y'all miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
These 95-84 ball games. That's what you want to see.
That was goodness. Let's get another 95-85, but in the other direction. How about that?
That was a thrilling ball game.
Thrilling. You're not a real hoop head. That's the issue. See, that's the problem. I've always said it. Ron, not a real hoop head. That's the problem.
I like football to be football on the field, and I would like basketball to be basketball on the field.
Okay, all right.
Or at least call it the same way all season. If you're gonna do this, have 6 months. Don't have 6 months if we call it this way, and then hell, man, we're gonna throw this thing out the window.
Yeah, my only
rule.
I told Clint, could you imagine if pass interference just was completely different in the playoffs, and you could just grab people?
Yeah.
That's what this is to the NBA.
I'd like to see one time. My only real complaint is just, hey, how about we get the out of bounds calls right? Like, how about we get those right? We can deal with the other stuff in a different situation. All right, we're done for the day. We'll catch you tomorrow on a NFL draft Thursday.
Hell yeah.
You're in the loop. Or sorry, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, you're actually with The Drive because The Drive is live.
The Drive is live. And a lot to get to. I see you on your Lift Off T-shirts. There you go. There you go. Clint, you look like you made a stop to Academy. I know I did.
I did not make my stop at Academy.
That just looks like Academy gear right there. I think
it is Academy gear, actually. I bought this and some shorts. Lopez would have been proud of me, man. I'd have been able to go attend one of his parties and blend in with the fishermen's.
I'll be honest with you. I felt good. I slid by there and went and got me some Jordan gear. You know, Academy just now jumping in with the Jordan gear there. I slid up in there. I said, let me see what they got.
You rat holding them gift cards, wasn't you? You've been rat holding them gift cards.
Let me see what they got. Let me see what they got over there.
You,
not yet.
You gift card rat holding son of a.
Not yet. And I went in there and I'm telling you, they had me. They had me right, baby. Got me a couple of pieces.
That's nice. I like that right there. Got that jump man on the chest. You got about 2 more weeks to wear that piece.
That's where, you're right.
It's going to be hotter than hell, Ron. Going to be sweating like a mug.
Nah, baby.
You can wear that thing with no.
It comes off, but it's real sleevey, baby.
Yeah, you can go short sleeve with it.
I go short sleeve underneath. Yeah, it's real good. Got the hood on it. I like that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man.
Clean.
Listen, I'll say this. And we got a lot to get to. Friday, remember, hey, continue the crawfish circuit with us as we'll be at Blue Water Seafood up north again. On the northwest side up Highway 290. So come hang out with us on Friday as we continue our crawfish circuit. Also, we will give you more info as we will be out live tomorrow at the Texans draft party as well. A lot to get to, but I know that many of you refer to me as cheap. And again, I don't think that I am cheap. I think I am.
This is where you go wrong. Just
I am
it.
Choosy, and I may, and there are some other things that I am
frugal.
Like, yeah, like to me, like, you know, I buy good toilet paper. Like I'm not cheap on that. I'm not generic. Like I ain't bought Dr. Thunder in years.
That'd be terrible for you to make your family.
And this is not that. Just, and it's not just because Courtney makes. Like there are certain things that I'm holding on. Yeah, am I going to try to ride this car I got out for a good 5-6 more years? Yes.
That's risky business.
Yeah. Am I 10 years in? You're damn right I'm going to try to run this thing off. I'm going to try to get it to 300. Mm. Yeah, that's right. But I do.
You're going to try to get it to 300?
I admit, and I'm going to do that's it, man. Else. Just keep getting oil changes, baby. Keep take care of it. But I do some things that are cheap adjacent. And I got to admit, today when I was in Academy Sports.
You did it.
I did it. And I did it with gift cards. And like.
Said, oh, damn. So.
I mean. It's
and I just got to admit the amount.
He's got to be exhausted with it at times.
Tyler, the amount of times I walked stuff back to the rack.
Nah, I can't do it.
With gift cards.
I wish I was surprised.
Like this, I walked this back 3 times. This the pullover. I walked it back 3 times. At first, I started with this pullover, couple of t-shirts. I got the shorts, couple of shorts, had some socks. And then at one point, I walked it all back. And then
what was going through your head to walk it all back? Like what was the thought in your head that made you do that?
In my mind, I'm thinking, man, we could probably do something more with this. Maybe this could go towards I know coming up, we got a football season coming up. I know we got
could get some grill stuff.
That is unbelievable.
You would think
that he didn't marry well and his bride didn't make money. You'd think that he don't make money. You think that he's struggling paycheck to paycheck.
Well, no, I do believe I'm going to get fired every day. And it's not a healthy thing. I have a therapist maybe working on that, but I do believe I'm going to get fired every day. So I think that is in my mind, but I do think like, all right, shoot, I know these three bastards are about to be in some sports, something.
These three bastards.
And in my mind, I promise, I thought, dang, Lauren does have to get some new guitar glue. And that don't have anything to do with these gift cards at Academy Sports.
The one thing they don't have at Academy, guitar glue.
I wish I was
surprised, but the moment you told that story about haggling with a stripper on the lap dance, nothing you ever say on your bargain hunting will surprise me.
Text line coming to nothing. That Jordan brand ain't cheap. No, it isn't. But again, I did have gift cards. And so that means and they were gift cards that were given to me. So that they were not gift cards that I paid for. And I mean, Clint, I was in there 45 minutes just going back.
That's unbelievable.
And put stuff back. At one point I put the socks back. I got one pair of shorts. I got the pullover. And that's what I ended. I had started
I'm going to get permission from Courtney on something. I just want you to go 1 week. and refuse to do stuff like that. Just 1 week on food, gear. If it's cat, I don't care.
It's not everything.
But it's every day. I mean, you just crying out loud. You're climbing into a car that you say, "I'm gonna try to get this thing 300."
I am. It's going good. I mean, I got Hughley came in the game. Maybe a little shot at the bumper that I could get repaired. But I mean, outside of that, it's running beautifully.
Oh no, I mean, there's nothing. It's the cumulative effect of all of it. It's not just one thing. It's all.
I said, I can't wait to tell these nuts. I did. I stopped myself. I said, like I was my parent. I said, "Ronald, stop!" In my head, "Ronald, stop! Grab this."
Tyler, you get him a couple T-shirts. I'm gonna get the socks, man.
Hey, I'm out here.
I know what to get him for his birthday.
Hey, I'm out here adding this up, and I'm just like, all right,
Cinco de Mayo.
This would put me here. All right, if I put this together, Nicholas has to get a new glove. He's got to get football cleats. He's playing flag coming up.
Nicholas doesn't use Trey's old stuff.
No.
Too far back, too far behind him.
I think he's actually like pushed past. We'll push past the stuff. I don't think he's got anything. There's nothing right now that Nick can use from Trey.
I'm going to tell you right now, Laney gets every bit of Liv's hand-me-downs.
Lauren Mack on YouTube and Twitch said, "Ron stresses me out." You think you were stressed? I was in there for free. And I said, just go up here.
You know there's like value. And I don't know. My uncle taught me this a long time ago. Now, at the time, he had a lot more money than I did. And in his lifetime, made a lot more money than I did. But
not no more, though, right?
Well, he passed away, so I've had a couple of times to try to catch him. So I'm a couple years to try to catch him.
Now
it ain't been quite two. But anyway, like there's value in not work. Like you waste, your time is valuable and
I wasted 45 minutes.
45 minutes of your time is worth more than them two T-shirts, especially when they were ultimately free. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah. I do wish I had them T-shirts, man. I love the T-shirts.
Now you got to waste the gas, go back. You got to put more miles on your 250 down there to go back and get them.
Then I said, I put the socks. I think at one point I put the socks back and said, "Well, maybe Courtney might want something up here."
The showman. Yeah,
I use old Uncle Adrian. You met Uncle Adrian. I use Uncle Adrian's line all the time just to justify my careless spending. In my head, I'm like, oh, that's what Uncle A told me right here. Yeah. I can go ahead and get these $2,000 speakers in the ceiling.
It's not Courtney. She just looks at me and just shakes her head.
Woo! Love that money.
And I walked in. She said, "Oh, you got bottoms too." She got surprised you just
You should have
in.
Told her you picked the shoes promised, up too, knowing you already had them.
At one point, I put everything back.
It's unbelievable.
Walk out the store. All right, hey. Text line 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. YouTube and Twitch, jump in. I see you out there, Joseph, Lauren, Juan. We'll get there.
How y'all like that fresh shave right there, you two? How y'all like that fresh shave? I went ahead and got. We want to get this stubble off. This stubble's starting to get gray on me, man. Like them sideburns.
Don't die, man. Just let it ride, man.
My little girl don't like me to hug her and kiss her when she says your face, your skin.
My Lauren used to do that when she was younger too. Hated it.
My little girl still lick my face.
Oh, right after eating turds, you nasty.
Is tonight a must-win game? Are we in 713-572-4610? Are we in must-win game at the Toyota Center tonight between the Rockets? The Rockets, this must-win form.
Can I straddle the fence on this one?
Let's go, Rocket.
Do whatever you want to do.
It depends for me, Ron. If we see more of what we saw last week, which again everybody that listens knows what the hell I'm talking about, this Fred VanVleet heavy offense. If we see more of that and they lose, it's over. Yeah. If that's M.A. Doka's approach, it's over.
No, God.
And it'll be over in a sweep, by the way. If they do what my man Amen Thompson's talking about during media time, I think yesterday or maybe it was today. I guess it was yesterday after practice. Getting downhill, playing fast, speeding the tempo. Just because the playoffs doesn't mean you have to listen to all that noise. You can get down. Like if that is the case and they lose a nail biter and they play significantly better and just, hey, man,
Curry. You'll still be encouraged going to San Francisco.
I mean, I won't be real excited about being down 0-2 going to San Francisco, but yeah. I will feel a lot better about their chances. But, I think if they play like that, I think they beat them. I think they handle business, but – To me, it depends on what Rockets team we see. If we see more, and I'm not even talking about the missed shots. I'm just talking about, as Amen Thompson, again, made very, very, very obvious that, you know, slowing the game down or the resistance to speeding the game up, which they've done all year long, that was clearly part of the plan going in. And you saw them in the second half. They came out with Amen Thompson and Jalen Green getting downhill. Like, if they come out with that same mentality they did last week, it's going to be over in four, baby.
Yeah. Some people are texting in. Definitely a must-win game tonight. Juan on YouTube and Twitch says, yes, all caps, that this is. Ronnie, the Rockets are going to blow them out tonight, so thank you for not answering the question.
I like your point, though.
Yeah, that is. Listen, I damn sure think this is must-win. It's a wrap if they go down 0-2. To this team they're playing, to Golden State, if they go down 0-2 with the next two, like saying, all right, you got to win four of the next, you know, the next games over that, just that one is hard for me to think that they can pull off to do that. So if they go down 0-2, I think they're done. I think they got a real issue. So I do think this is must win. And I'll give you three reasons of things that they need to do. Stay up with us, 4:40. Brandon Scott will be on with us for his Rockets report. Really excited to hear what he's got to say about this game that I think is must win. Maybe he doesn't think it's must win. But for me, like, three things that I think we need to see, Clint. One for me is Golden State clearly is going to try to make the Rockets play in half court because the Rockets struggle in half court because, you know, they got... They don't just have guys that just generally could go and get their own stuff. I think they've got to speed this game up. Now, I do think you run a risk of, all right, it's up and down. I think Golden State would probably like to play that way. But I think they have got to get easier buckets. They've got to get in transition. They've got to say, hey, man, we got a bunch of dudes under 25 or whatever. And let's run Steph. Let's run Draymond. Let's run Jimmy. Let's get up and down so, one, we can get easier buckets and maybe tire them out by the time we get to the fourth quarter. I felt like this game was played way too much in half court, and I think the Warriors gain a huge advantage when it comes to that. To me, you spoke him up. Amen Thompson has to be much more of a factor in this game, and in particular offensively. He is. I'm not saying he's got to come out here and score 30, but he has got to be a playmaker and had to also score as well. I feel like if he's doing that, it gets him going even more on the other end. So Amen Thompson, I know we talked about Jalen Green enough. Obviously, to many people who are texting in, hell yeah, they got to shoot better. I mean, like, we got to get there. They can't shoot 39% and 21% from three. But even more, Amen Thompson has to be a major factor offensively. And then for me, Clint, you're not going to stop Jimmy and Steph, but they've got to slow at least one of them down. Like, both of them just can't end in the game and they're above 25 points, and you can see they're impacting the game in a major way. Can you at least slow one of them down? Can you at least come out, you know, and Jimmy ends up with 16 or something like that? Just slow one of their big two down. Because obviously, if you're able to, I love the pace that they play. I love how they are able to generally defend them. But they just slow one of those big two down. That, to me, is big. Those are my three kind of big changes that I think they need to have in this game.
I absolutely love them all, Ron. Speed the game up. Amen Thompson more involved and slow one of the top two Golden State Warrior scorers, which is Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. It seems simple.
Get one of them.
It seems simple, but, I mean, you know, with the exception of the opponent-specific slowing one of those top two guys down, it's doing what the hell you've been doing all year long. It's playing the way you've been playing all year long. And so, yeah, obviously, again, you know, Steph Curry and Butler, that's a little different animal there. I mean, you got to tackle that. I thought they did an admirable job last week, at least Curry, or Sunday. At least Curry was streaky as hell, and then Jimmy had to come on. It took Jimmy scoring 6-8 points late in order to get to a number that you look at in the box score and say, yeah, Jimmy did work. Whatever they did last week was good enough to hold them jokers down under 100. If they can do that, they got to win. You know what I mean?
They do. Yeah, they do. It's just. But even if you know, if you just slow down,
sure, yeah, yeah,
Jimmy or Steph, like if Steph's at 25 instead of 31, mm-hmm, if Jimmy's at, like, it obviously it helps you. And I say that because, Clint, I think the Rockets are very capable defensively of doing it. Maybe not just not shutting up. Now, I'm not – like, listen, I'm not going with the – what's that game they had where Steph had 3 and Jimmy had 13? That's not going to – it's a big ask. Yeah, that's not going to be something you can just hang your hat on. But I do think that they can hang their hat on at least slowing stars down from their normal impact. All right, coming up as we continue to roll through here, I think Clint's going to love what's coming out. A lot of people, as we get closer to the draft tomorrow, are saying this about the Texans. We'll tell you what that is and discuss that coming up next.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Big day tomorrow as the draft is tomorrow. We'll see what the Texans do. And it feels like, Clint, it is going to be potentially a really exciting day for the Texans and for Texans fans, because one of the things we're hearing, and we're hearing it from a lot of in-the-know football people, from Albert Breer, has made comments like this, to Diana Rossini, who of The Athletic. And Clint, I know this will be music to your ears based off some of the things you have said, but Diana Rossini says this: Nick Caserio has made at least 3 draft day trades every year and 18 total trades since taking over as Texans GM in 2021. Don't be surprised if Houston makes a jump on Thursday night, as sources tell me. So we've heard that multiple different ways. I heard Todd McShay also say, word on the street is Houston is sniffing around trying to move up in the draft, potentially for an offensive lineman or receiver or whatever. And I know for you, Clint, you have been pushing, please be aggressive. Please be aggressive in this draft and go get somebody.
Absolutely. Be aggressive. I think that's for several reasons. I mean, one, it's easy to go there because Nick Caserio, since, 2021, Nick Caserio has been the most aggressive in a sense of, I think he's moved up in the draft 13 times, I think is what it was.
18.
Moved up in the draft 18 times. I think he's moved 18 times. He's moved up 13 times.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Could be wrong. But the point, you get the point. So I think Nick has no problem doing it. Two, I think when you look at the Texans roster right now, there's always a need to build depth. There's always a need to build for the future. But right now, I think especially for the Texans on the offensive side of the football, I think they are a couple of players away. And when you talk about first, second round picks, we're talking about one, that D'Amico Ryans has said first rounders are plug and play.
What he said.
And two, you look at it, the second rounders of late for D'Amico Ryans have been plug and play. And so I think those two picks in particular are two picks that you'd like to have guys on the offensive side of the football that contribute immediately. Maybe some speed that's game changing type speed. That would be nice. And then also I think if you look at the draft in general, I think there's the Texans from a draft capital perspective have an extra 2 this year, an extra 3 this year, an extra 2 next year.
Yep.
They've got the ability to move. They've got some valuable draft assets there to move if they so choose to do so. So I'm not going to be disappointed with whatever they do, but I think for those reasons there, Ron, you're set up to do it. Boy, the team needs it.
You're set up to do it.
Now's the time.
You're set up to do it, but Clint, within striking distance, and maybe we can assume, because they have ammo, right? But obviously, the further you move up, the more ammo you'll have to use. And the other question is, are there players that are there that you say to yourself, I think they got to go up? These are players that are worthy for where they are right now for them to go up. It's one thing to have the ammo to go up, but is there somebody or some bodies that you look at and say, that's somebody I need to go up and get?
Yeah, to me, there is. I mean, when I look at the needs for the Texans, now we're talking about going from the second round of the playoffs and struggling offensively to a guy that changes the game for you, ideally changes the game for you offensively. I think there's, if you're talking about getting one of the top two or three receivers, you're gonna have to move up a little bit from 25. Yeah. If you're talking about getting one of the top two or three guards, you may be able to sit at 25 and get one of those guys. But if you've fallen in love with one of them, then I think you may have to move a little bit to go get that guy. I think I don't like it, but I know that a lot of the draft talk around the Texans has involved not one but multiple tackles. Now those guys are thought to also be able to play guard as well. Maybe they transition in the league to guard, but whether I like it or not is irrelevant. The point is the Texans obviously like these guys, and if they've got their sights set on one of those particular guys, then they may have to move up a little bit to get one of the two or three guys that are available. So yeah, I do think maybe not the entire draft, and maybe not jumping from the second round back up into the first round and trying to get two first round picks, but I definitely think moving and shaking a couple of spots up with the first round pick and maybe moving up a good chunk, maybe with that second round pick, one or the other, I do think that that's a possibility. And I do think if they've got their sights set on a couple of guys that are game changers, you can even look at the defensive tackle position. I mean, if there's a defensive tackle out there that damn it, D'Amico has fallen in love with, hey, man, go get him.
I think they would pull the trigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think there's a handful of guys out there.
Yeah, I think there's some, like, if you want to go O-line, like, the better tackles are up. Now, I don't think you're going in the top 10 to get, like, the kid from LSU or Missouri. But,
right.
But maybe Kelvin Banks has been one that is popular and connected with the Texans. So maybe that's a route that you want to go. But from what we're hearing from draft people and everyone around, like, it seems like the area that the Texans are in right now, 25, they're a lot closer. Those type of players, the players in that area, are a lot closer to, like, second-round picks, like with second-round grades. And it does feel like there are not as many. This isn't 25 deep when it comes to guys that you say, all right, they're a first-round grade that we can plug the hell right in, right? Like, if they drafted Tyler Booker, I think he would start, but you could see a space where a guy like that is dropping and maybe he doesn't come right in. Or, you know, one of the receivers, they start, they come right in. I do think it seems to be around, you know, less than 20 that are really first-round grades that come right in and start for you. So that's why I think it's something really big to think about right now moving up if you want somebody to plug right in.
Well, I know this is not how they typically do business, Ron, but again, to me, this is about finding the guy you want that you believe in is a plug-and-play guy. Not the Will Anderson aggressive move, but that mindset, right, is, hey, if one of those guys, whether it's a guard, a tackle that can transition to guard, a wide receiver, a D tackle, a RB2 in the second round, like whatever it may be, identify those guys, and in a draft where there may not be a whole lot of people think there's not going to be a whole lot of movement up, like everybody's going to be real aggressive to move up, take advantage of it and go get the guy that you want.
Yeah, for example, what I'm saying is, like, last year the Texans had the 23rd pick. Jacksonville ended up getting it. Clint, I don't know if a Brian Thomas type player is sitting at 25 this year or 23-ish this year. Like, I just don't think this draft has this type of. If Brian Thomas was in this draft, he'd be a top 15 pick.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying if you want to get some players like that, I think this year's draft you have to get aggressive and get into the top, more to the top 15, top 20. To me, and not think you can just sit back this year. All right, coming up as we continue, big night last night for the Astros, in particular for two guys that really, really needed it, and the Astros needed it from them. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Towards the middle, off the bat.
How about it?
That's going to score a run. In comes Alvarez. Christian Walker, an RBI single that hits second base, and it's 2-0 Houston.
Is there anybody on planet Earth that needed that more than Christian Walker?
No, I don't think so. Although I don't know, there may be a line of cats out there. Yiner Diaz might say I could use it. actually stand corrected. Jazz McCormick could have used that hit off the bag. Although he did
come at me about white boy Jazz.
He did secure a nice catch to end the game last night. But that was a big win as they continue. And now Clint and Tyler, don't look now, but the Stros are above 500 now. And they have won this series already. They look to sweep this bad boy tonight before they get the day off and head to Kansas City for a weekend series against the Royals. But they are playing pretty good baseball coming home. This has been a very, very successful homestand. It could just get better with a win tonight. And they're going behind Ryan Gusto. But to me, Clint, this was two players who desperately needed this game, and the one of the highlight Tyler just played is one of them. Christian Walker, Clint, goes 3-for-3 with a double in there, an RBI, scored a run. You heard the run he drove in as they got runners on, and that's been a problem for him, Clint. He has continued to come up with runners in scoring position and has struggled to come through. That had to be a weight off his shoulders. And he definitely, they gave him a day off, Clint, like, hey, man, that is a sign of, man, my man is really struggling. They want you to sit down and just see how the game goes. They want you to just watch things. And to come back, Clint, and go 3-for-3, sitting there in that five spot, that was big and well needed for him.
Absolutely. And I mean,
Dana needed it too.
Well, I mean, look, if you just talk about the way in which the Astros are winning games right now. It's at outside the top four, if you will, if you're not including Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena is absolutely on fire. It's not at the hands of Altuve. It's not at the hands of Yordan Alvarez. It's really the others. Those big two right there you expect big things from them. It's the others, whether it's guys like Christian Walker and Jeremy Pena starting to swing it a little bit better, or it's guys that are coming out of left field and you just didn't expect to swing it as well as they are right now at all. And that's how they're winning games right now. That happened a lot in the Padres series, and now it's happened back-to-back games in the Blue Jays series. So the guys that you have zero worries about, again, Altuve and Alvarez, those guys aren't the big contributors at this point in time. It's the others. It's good to see those guys come around. The others are the ones. When you lose Kyle Tucker, you lose Alex Bregman, the others are the ones you worry about filling the void, and those guys are starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah, and especially for Christian, because I don't know if Christian Walker was thought to be another. I thought Christian Walker was probably thought to fill a void like Bregman or Tucker.
Yep.
With what he has done in the past, so they really needed him.
It was supposed to be our blessing for the first time in years of a first baseman that could use a bat. So,
well, hopefully that's what we get.
Good to see it's starting to happen to some degree. But yeah, that's what we were expecting. So the slow start was rough.
It's crazy how that ending unfolded. It was Altuve off the second baseman for an infield hit, a jam shot the other way from Yordan that fell in front of the outfielder, and then obviously the hardest hit ball in the inning was probably Paredes for an out, but then. But then Jeremy Pena hit a dribbler for an inside hit, and then Christian Walker hits it off the base.
Yeah.
But hey, shoot, they need it. Of any team that needs some help, they need it. Someone text in any hair bets with the Royals series show. No. Okay. No. No.
I did turn you blonde.
Hey,
didn't
hey,
I?
We're good. Look, I know.
No, you didn't. The Royals did. The Royals and the Astros, and their play did.
We both did.
I know. Look, boys, I know Pena. I know Pena's two of his hits last night were in infield hits.
Yeah,
it's a panty dropper.
But it's what he's got going on here with this, the way he's using his speed. This is what you expected out of Jeremy Pena. I know I'm lost. Yiner, I know he's struggling, but Jeremy's doing is got it. He's off to a hell of a start, and it's It's promising.
They need him, yeah, man. And you could really hit him anywhere in the lineup right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to put him up top the way he is swinging, probably don't want to mess with him. But, hell, you want to put him towards the top with his speed and what he's doing, you could do that.
We've made the record. We've said, I mean, there's no doubt we wouldn't want to necessarily move the lineup around, but Espada don't mind it. So why don't you just put him in that two hole? Let's use that speed.
Let me see what. No, that's Jordan's spot now.
Oh, that's right. You have to move him again, wouldn't you?
Yeah, move him again. But also, along with Walker, a big one, O'Neill Blanco, Ronel Blanco, he needed this to him. ERA 6.48 entering the game. And you could tell that he's really kind of gotten out to the opposite of the start he did last year, and coming into this one needed a big performance, especially because you had been getting a good performance from your starters leading up to that. Hunter Brown was dominant, and then the back of the rotation guys were pitching well as well, and you needed him to step up. He goes 6 2/3, 2 hits, one of them being a home run, which was the only earned run he gave up. 3 Ks, 2 walks, and hell, I thought he could have finished the damn seventh, but we went in a different direction. But whatever. But he pitched really well, under 100 pitches. I think 91 pitches he ended up having. That man, he needed that one as well. I was saying yesterday, like, hey man, you better start getting it together. You don't want to start struggling, as I think Lance McCullers is climbing his way to potentially get up to the big club, and they need more starts and outings like this from Ronel Blanco. Big for him just as much as Absolutely. It was for Walker.
No question about it.
It feels huge.
Yeah, he was sexy last night. So that's the latest with the Astros as they do their thing last night. Look for the sweep tonight. Hey, man, as we talk about the draft coming up tomorrow, the rise of Jalen Milroe has just been really, really interesting. We were sitting here thinking, and I know you've said that he should have gone back to college. I think you still probably still stand by that.
I do.
That he should have gone back to college. But now the way it's working out, Clint, this is a weaker quarterback draft. It looks like he will probably at least be in the early second round. But we're hearing the back of the first round. And it seems like we're hearing all kinds of stuff right now. Like, this is the opposite of Shadur. We're hearing all kinds of stuff right now. Hey, man, this is why you don't want to pass him up. And now they talk. I heard somebody come in and say he could enter the NFL as the best running quarterback as soon as he enters the league. The best running quarterback as soon as he enters the league. That's Lamar Jackson, I believe, is in this league. I know Anthony Richardson has his faults. He's pretty good when it comes to that running the thing.
No, you should have just stopped it.
Tackling. I just tried to throw
ain't nobody in their right mind coming into this league should mention speed and then being faster than Lamar Jackson, period.
Oh, they did say that, didn't they?
Ain't no analyst should say it. Ain't no player should say it. This guy toys.
No.
This guy toys with speed linebackers, nickel defenders, corners, safeties. I mean, he toys with them and runs away from them and makes it look like Pee Wee League when he's running around backwards behind the line of scrimmage or takes off running down the field. Ain't nobody should even shave. You're setting this young man up to fail. And I think he may have even said it on Kay Adams. I think he may have said it. What are we doing?
Oh, he said he's faster.
I didn't listen to the audio, but the caption said that he said he was faster than Lamar Jackson. And it was when he joined Kay Adams' deal.
Well, Kay maybe Kay got it.
Maybe
got away from him.
Kay is the kind of where you get on there and you get a little carried away with that.
She has that effect.
Trying to impress her.
You probably talk yourself up a bit trying to impress her. But it just. The Jalen Milroe thing overall is interesting.
The rise is killing me. It is wild.
I can't wait to see.
By the way, could you imagine if Shadur said something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
I'm more accurate than
the problem. The problem with it all, Ron, is like it's just so like the media and the draft gurus and even the former player analysts are so dialed into what can I say to get clicks? And there's no doubt about it right now. Jalen Milroe, and is he in the first round? Is he out? Who should go get him? Kind of deal. That is a that is a it's a bigger talking point right now than the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, it's more. I don't know if that's Alabama. I don't know if it's athletic ability. I don't know if it's because he's such a freak of nature. But this is one that
it is wild how quick. Like this, they are. It's like, I mean, you don't hear any. Like you don't even hear any of his faults anymore. Like, you know, if he can if he can throw, yeah, you know, consistently enough. I mean, like, you don't even hear any of that.
Ron, there's – I don't remember. Maybe it was Dan Orlovsky or one of them was pushing the Pittsburgh Steelers thing late in the first – or whenever in the first – when their first round
21, yeah.
And I'm like, that's the last thing Pittsburgh needs to do. The like, Pittsburgh, you just had a super athlete that I think is
– Justin Fields.
Yeah, who's a more natural thrower. And I don't know if he's a better thrower, but he's a more natural thrower of the football. I don't know about making decisions, but he's more natural thrower
of
the football.
Much better thrower in coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had that, and you let it go to New York. You didn't want it. It wasn't good enough. You couldn't win with it. You put Russell Wilson out there, and now you're talking about a franchise that hadn't been able to find their quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger, using a first-round draft pick on Jalen Milroe, who at the best, you're not going to be able to sell. He's not a developmental quarterback at this point.
And like, our warm prayers.
I mean, that it's just it, to me, it gets plumb silly around Jalen Milroe. Like to me, if it's Jalen Milroe in the middle rounds, and it's one of these teams that's running an offense, like even if it's the Jets at some point with a Fields type offense or a Hurts type offense in Philly, or
where's it coming from? Is this coming from teams that they're
it's
hearing
from production meetings?
Just meetings. To push this. Because I don't, like, I will be shocked if he goes in the first. I mean, I'm going to be shocked. But I'll be surprised if he goes in the first round, because it will be just a turnaround from what? Like a turnaround from that big point from what has happened.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about either a team that's got a quarterback using a first or second round pick on a developmental guy just to bolster the quarterback room, or you're talking about a quarterback needy team that's probably in a desperate position. Most of them are, that are quarterback needy, taking a quarterback that's a developmental quarterback. Like that, it just doesn't. That part doesn't add up to me. I don't know what they're seeing.
Yep, CJ Gardner Johnson, the new safety for the Texans, spoke about a lot of things yesterday, but he said something in particular about why he came to the Texans that I think is interesting, something that I think we should discuss. We will do that coming up next.